From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is going to be made 2 weeks from today with the kickoff of the annual Rochester Fringe Festival. This year's event includes more than 600 performances, more than 30 venues across the city. And if you aren't one of the 750,000 people who has taken in a Fringe performance since the festival began in Rochester, well, they believe this year is as good a time as any. Comedy, music, dance, theater, spoken word, multidisciplinary arts, indoors, outdoors, I don't know, in past years, in the air, on the ground, in cars, everywhere you look, there seems to be something going on with the Fringe. And Erica Fee is the producer and CEO of the Rochester Fringe Festival, who is always at peak stress when we bring her in. So this is...
I mean, it's not wrong.
It's not wrong,
It's right? not wrong, yeah.
This is always the time of year where it's like, how are you holding it together?
Although I will say, last night we had an all-staff meeting, and I was told by several people that I was appearing and looking very calm. So... They obviously couldn't see the insides.
I doubt it. Rochesterfringe.com.
That's right.
Rochesterfringe.com is the fullest. By the way, how did I do on those stats here? How many shows this year?
About 650.
650 shows.
Yeah, but who's counting, you know? I mean, once you get over 500, it's all a wash.
remind people when the first Rochester Fringe Festival was.
So, my days. That was 2012. And yeah, so I'm the founding festival producer. So my hair color bill is now very high from all those festivals. But this is our 13th festival.
Your hair color bill?
My hair color, yeah. Hair color, you know, just because, you know, turning gray over the stress of the festival.
Oh, I see. well, we're glad to have you here. And throughout this hour, we're going to be talking to some of the performers, the creators, the artists who are going to be in these venues, large and small. And really, that's kind of the spirit of Fringe. And Eric and I have talked many times over the years on this, but if you've never been to a Fringe festival, it has a long history, literally around the world. There are dozens, if not hundreds, of Fringe festivals, large and small. And, you know, Rochester's is a very, very well-established one, but it has always meant to be sort of the big and the small and the offbeat and the mainstream and everything in between, right?
That's right. So there's about 250 Fringe festivals worldwide, and, you know, some are... differing sizes. I just came back from the Edinburgh Fringe. What makes our Fringe very special, I think, is that we do have a wide range of multidisciplinary performances. So comedy, theater, music, dance, et cetera, as you just outlined. But yes, it's the headliner, and I'm putting that in quotes because everybody's a headliner, right? There are those sorts of performances like Colin Jost, who's coming in this year. But we also have, as you said, shows that are in parked cars. I mean, shows that are there's a few shows at St. Joseph's Park this year, which is the kind of burned out church downtown. But there's a wide range. And so we really do encourage people to, of course, you know, come down to see the names that you're familiar with, but please also stay to experience something else. Because there's so many emerging artists that are going to be the next big thing.
A Fringe show is typically pretty svelte, pretty tight, so it's designed to let you experience multiple in kind of an outing, right?
Absolutely. So Fringe festivals worldwide tend to highlight shows that are about an hour in length. And they're designed that way so that patrons can attend more than one show in an evening.
You mentioned Colin Jost, so I have to ask here.
Yes.
I don't know how you did this, because the headliner was Pete Davidson. And Pete Davidson, from SNL fame and comedy and movies, but Pete Davidson for many years has spoken very openly about mental health, mental illness, and he canceled his whole tour.
That's right.
Citing the need to take care of himself. Mm-hmm. And so Rochester, of course, is on that list. But pretty quickly after that, all of a sudden it's like, well, Colin Jost is coming. And it was like, well, that was fast.
Yeah.
How did you do that?
So it's been kind of interesting, because I've seen in the media and online, there have been several people have said, oh, well, Pete must have just called Colin, and that's how they worked it out. And
that's literally what I said to Erica when she walked in.
The Fringe was the beneficiary. No, that is not what happened.
You were like offended when I said that.
Well, because I scrambled. Let me tell you, I was working like crazy to try to pull in another headliner on a Friday night, that isn't so far away. You know, this isn't a booking that's happening in months and months. This is a booking that's coming right up. So I worked very hard on that, and we were just so thrilled that Colin was available, that he accepted our offer. Now, of course, he was in Tahiti. As you might remember, he was broadcasting for the Olympics for NBC, and the day that we put in the offer for Colin was also the day that he famously was all over social media, wound up getting his feet cut by coral and getting a staph infection. And then he had another infection, too. And he basically had to leave Tahiti to come back to the States because of all these infections that he had acquired. And so we were dealing with both of those things. And at one point, I thought, why is it that every comedy headliner we're booking this year is in the news this week?
I'm starting to think it might have something to do with you.
You think so?
But it's going to work out with Colin Jost.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
And he's not doing the whole tour that Davidson was, is he?
Oh, no, just this night.
Just Rochester.
Yeah, just Rochester. Yeah. Because it's a totally separate booking. It has nothing to do with Pete's tour.
Has everything to
just
do
want
with...
to highlight that one more time.
But Eric B. isn't allowed to quite say, but I'll say, it's because of you. You did that.
Well, I did.
That's an amazing thing. Tickets still available for Colin Jost, yes?
Just a few. About a handful of tickets remain. So
okay.
Don't wait on those.
We're going to be talking in just a moment to a bunch of the many people who are going to be involved here. So before we do that, and I know this is like, you know, who's your favorite child? But like, let's be honest, people with multiple children have a favorite child. So I only have
you
one.
You would say that because you have one child, so you can make that joke.
I have one.
I am not going to list any favorite children. However,
you might mention a few shows.
I will tell you a few shows that I think are of interest. One that is very, very different is we are bringing in a 19-room luminarium, you know, as you do. It's called Architects of Airs, the group. They're from the UK. The luminarium is called Daedalum. It's a handmade luminarium, handmade by this artist called Alan Parkinson, stitched together by hand. It's all reflective of the light that comes in from the outside. It's absolutely stunning. The pictures, in many ways, online don't even do it justice. I was able to attend it at Lincoln Center. So this is direct from Lincoln Center. That's kind of a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
And it will be there for all 12 days of the festival. It will live across from Eastman Theater at the corner of Main and Gibbs Streets.
It seems so fringe. It's so cool.
It's so cool. And, you know, you walk in, there's kind of ambient music, and it's... some people relax in it. Some people sit down. They've had some people who have started to do yoga in it. Some people reflect. Some people just... walk on through and, you know, admire the architecture. It feels, when you're inside of it, it feels absolutely enormous. And they've toured 43 countries. They've been going since 1992. And the architecture that has been created in this luminarium, which is really an inflatable structure, it'll have to be inflated, actually, all 12 days of the festival, every single day, it has all been influenced by world-renowned architecture and, you know, church architecture, mosque architecture, all sorts of religious architecture. So actually knowing that is kind of interesting, because when you go into it, you say, oh, yes, I can see what inspired that section.
So that's Daedalum.
Mm-hmm.
And Daedalum is happening when?
It's every day of the Fringe, September 10th through the 21st.
We're going to talk Cirque du Fringe, and, you know, we got to mention the Spiegel Tent, which actually is going to be coming up here in just a moment, because we're going to talk to Carrie Young, who is with us. Carrie is a theater artist with Dashboard Dramas and Bushwhacked, among a long resume of accomplished comedy stylings.
That's right. And she'll be hiding out behind the Spiegel Tent this year, kind of near the dumpster. But I don't know that we've told her that part yet. Audiences won't know that. Well, there'll be a very, very nice fence.
What was the famous line? It was a pool in a pond. Pond would be good for you. There's a Spiegel Tent and a dumpster would be good for you. Carrie, welcome, Carrie. That's a great entree into the show.
Yes, my introduction as next to the dumpster is pretty apropos, I think.
Hey, I'll be in the dumpster, Carrie. So
I want to say, and I'm excited to talk to Carrie. I want to say, Carrie is in a small group of the really experienced, talented comedy performers. And they, she's part of this list of people who do improv, they've done sketch work over the years. That includes Carrie Young and, you know, I'm thinking of people, literally my old friend Norma Holland and Andrea Holland and Estrafest. I'm thinking of Thank You Kiss, which is going to be performing at Fringe. And producer Megan Mack is always like, do not talk about me. So I'm not going to talk about the fact that you can see producer Megan Mack as part of a sketch comedy group called Thank You Kiss on three separate occasions at the Focus Theater. And you can see Bushwhacked as well, Carrie Young. What is Bushwhacked?
Oh my gosh, Bushwhacked is a two-person improv duo, basically. But we improvise within a structure. It's very highly audience interactive and immersive. We often have the audience as participants in part of, you know, what we're doing. This year we have Bushwhacked Cabaret of Destiny. So it's going to be slightly more presentational, but not without that wacky Bushwhacked charm. And it will be somewhat audience interactive. And we're really looking forward to it. We've got all kinds of characters that are going to show up for this show.
So that is what night here? I'm looking at this long list of here.
Oh, my gosh. It's almost at, we're performing every day of the Fringe. It will be at One Fringe Place. We have our own little venue spot right there next to somewhere sandwiched between the Illuminarium and the Beagle Tent and the Dumpster.
And the Dumpster.
We'll have our Bushwhack tent. We have 16 tickets per show. So it's like a cabaret setup where we have a small stage and 16 audience members.
That's where Bushwhack is happening. By the way, Carrie, before I talk to you about Dashboard, I just want to also ask you, you know, I know the best and you and Abby, and there's so many who are, I'm just in awe of your comedic talent because you make improv look easy. You make the written comedy work that you've done over the years look easy. Thank You Kiss makes sketch work look easy. And, but you also, sometimes I think it is easier when you're just embodying characters. You know, Megan has said it's easier to play something else than myself here. I'd rather play something else than myself. My dad was in from Cleveland one year. And I was like, let's go see Megan Cho. And of course, everybody knows Megan Mack as this professional, you know, buttoned up, hardworking journalist, producer. And my dad says to me after the show that Thank You Kiss does, he says, that was great, but who was that woman on stage? And I said, what do you mean? He said, there's no way that was Megan Mack. And I said, that was Megan Mack. is that how you feel about yourself? When you get done with the performance, do you think that was great, but that's me being a character and that's actually easier?
It's more fun. It really, the audience responds, you know, so beautifully when we are embodying characters and playing with all kinds of different characteristics that those people have. I enjoy playing outrageous characters far more than being myself. In fact, if you hand me a microphone, I often launch into some kind of weird voice. I have a hard time being myself.
Well, Carrie, I'm looking at the list here. So Bushwhacked Cabaret of Destiny only has 16 tickets per show. Boudoir has 4 tickets per show. Cabaret of
Correct.
Destiny, 16 tickets per show. And then the Dashboard. I mean, Erica Fee, like when you think about like Fringe shows, it's the big and the small. Like 4 tickets per show is like, that's the ultimate Fringe experience.
It is, really. The Dashboard Dramas is sold out. There are a few tickets left for some of Bushwhacked's performances. But yeah, I mean, it just because you are in a smaller space does not mean that you are in some way getting a lower quality show. This is what's very exciting about Fringe. It's very exciting about kind of the new trends that are happening in theater. I think that these immersive experiences people absolutely adore.
So, Carrie, before I let you go, I mean, Dashboard Dramas sold out 9 years running and sold out again. Sorry, everybody. I didn't want to waste too much time telling listeners about this amazing thing that none of you can go to now. And if you don't have a ticket, your life is going to be a little lesser in September because you're not going to go to Dashboard.
Well, next year.
Who knows? There could be next year. Tell people about Dashboard Dramas.
It's 4 plays that take place in 4 different vehicles. We have 8 audience members, and it's 2 per vehicle, and they rotate around with the 4 cars or vehicles, and they get play in each one. The plays are often very different from each other. It is very experiential. Sometimes the audience plays a character within the play. Sometimes the audience is simply watching and listening.
Carrie, I just want to jump in and say, before I let you go here, I appreciate you taking the time. And I know that literally your plate is full with Dashboards and Bushwhacked and everything else going on. It's all there at rochesterfringe.com, the schedule, et cetera. And I hope that if you can't get to Dashboard, maybe you can still get into one of the Bushwhacked, because I think Eric said there's a few tickets left.
A few tickets.
Thank you, Carrie Young.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
That's Carrie Young, theater artist with Dashboard Dramas and Bushwhacked, really one of the kind of the spirits of Fringe, or smaller, intimate shows, although, as they say, not too intimate, because that would be creepy. I like that tagline. Erica Fee is with me, producer of The Fringe. Am I allowed to say The Fringe? You don't like Fringe Fest?
Yeah, we don't like that. But
I think
Fringe,
I did that once.
Yeah, we had to have words. But Fringe or The Fringe.
Okay, well, The Fringe is coming back. What are the dates again, Eric Fee, of The Fringe?
It's Tuesday, September 10th, which is 2 weeks from today, through Saturday, September 21st.
That is a lot of days of Fringe. Amazing. September 10th through the 21st, coming up here. And I want to bring in our next guest. Joe Pisanzio is a performer with Game Show. That is a 60-minute show for all ages, starting on September 12th and happening for four different shows there. I think Joe's on the line with us now. Hello, Joe.
Oh, hey. Okay, cool. I'm straight in. Okay, hello.
Straight in, Joe.
Hey, how's it going?
Straight in.
I thought I was going to get back to the middle line here.
There's no middle line. You don't have to, like, talk to an operator for too long or, like, listen to our... Do we have hold music? I don't think we should get hold music. We should get really stylish hold music. Maybe that's part of the future. Oh, David, you sing. David Griffin sings for people. That's nice. Joe, tell us what Game Show is.
It's a game show, it's just a chaotic mess, and it's a lovely, fun time. I split the audience in half. You compete as a team with your side of the audience, and I start with more traditional game show sort of stuff, but then it quickly goes off the rails into something that may or may not look like a game show, but it stays competitive and people run around and often make friends by the end of the show. It's been a really, really fun time doing it.
It's happening at the Focus Theater, which is in, the Sibley. It's one of the great spaces in Rochester. It's one of these great spaces where, for people who went for decades to the mall downtown and then didn't know what had ever happened there, a lot of cool stuff has happened there. And the Focus Theater's on the third floor there, and it's a great place to see a show. Now, I got to say, Joe, there is a channel on Freevee that shows you only Bob Barker era Price is Right. And I'm telling you, man, if you're a game show fan, what becomes clear to me is everybody in that audience wants to get on stage. They want to come down to Contestants Row. Mm-hmm. Bob's kind of has it rigged to pick the younger women from the crowd who always want to come down and see Bob. But I feel like your show
they're just dying to. They're absolutely dying to see Bob. It has nothing to do with the fact they were selected out of the audience. Two totally different things.
It's a coincidence.
And a bit of a behind the scenes on that, the producers will pick people beforehand in line when you're lined up. They'll see who they want to pick.
Joe, I feel like your show is The Price is Right, except for you're mildly, as far as I can tell, less creepy than Bob Barker, and everybody literally gets to play, right?
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. Everyone's playing at the same time. And I think what I like to do with the show and as the show develops and grows is there's more and more things that people do. Cause there's, you have your traditional trivia and all that kind of stuff, but it depends on the build of the show, but often I'll have a drawing contest, right? And that'll just last the duration of the show. So people who aren't super extroverted and want to be running around doing some sort of skill feat or whatever I throw in the show, can be working on some more drawing tasks or different things. So it really becomes this kind of, collaborative effort and really trying to find, as I build the show out, I continually try to look for, things that different groups of people are good at that maybe not be my personal skills. So, and I'm finding like different spaces where like you can find where people really love and are able to find that little pocket to show off the weird thing that they know about or that they're skilled at. Right. So it's really cool seeing that happen.
Joe, we wanted you on because people have raved about your work with this. They really love what you do. And as Joe has mentioned for listeners, trivia, physical challenges, a custom-built video game, all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Literally everyone gets to participate. There's four different shows starting September 12th. There's one on September 14th, the 19th, and the 21st. Tickets are $15, $10 for students with ID. And that's at the Focus Theater. It's a theater that can pack about 100 in. So these tickets are going to sell if you want to go see Joe. And before I let you go, Joe, how much has your improv training helped you with this?
You know, it helps quite a bit. So I started with a lot of improv training, and then that's helped, and that shifted into clown and being able to read the audience and being able to make shifts and play with the energy is really just listening to that. It's been doing really well. I won an award in Hollywood, and I'm currently calling from Edinburgh. Like I did a small mini run, that's international call for you guys. But the improv training was the base of all this, and that evolved into specifically clown. And then this show has grown from there, and being able to listen to that sensitivity and really understand what the audience is craving, so I can throw that sort of game at them.
David Griffin, you accepted a collect call from Edinburgh? Come on, David. I actually don't even know if you can still call collect. Like younger listeners are like, what is that? What is even a collect call? Joe, thank you very much. We're looking forward to seeing you in Rochester. I know you're literally going around the world with this. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Joe Pisanzio is a performer with Game Show, a games show. And before I get to our next guest, I have to say, Erica Fee, lately, every time I kind of like say anything off cuff, listeners are kind of giving me grief for stuff.
Are they?
So somebody's going to email me and be like, why did you say Bob Barker was creepy? All I want to say is this. I think he was one of the most talented game show hosts who's ever lived. He was amazing. I also found it odd. And if you read some of the books written about behind the scenes stuff, there's a lot of tough stuff to read. Don't read the books if you want to still like the Barker era Price is Right. But the stuff that is creepy is when, if you get the prize, the kid on stage exactly right, and you win a $100 bonus, if you're a man, he hands you a $100 bill. Mm-hmm. Says, congratulations. If you're a woman, he made you fish into his $100 pocket to get the $100 bill out yourself.
I mean, you don't say. For many of us, I mean, that was kind of obvious that was going on the show.
Yes.
But
let me say again, unbelievable talent. Unbelievable talent, Bob Barker. But Joe Pisanzio, better. And doesn't do the whole weird pocket thing.
And you love games.
I do love games.
I mean, if anybody loves games, it's Evan Dawson.
I love games. Yeah. Let me bring in our next, by the way, rochesterfringe.com if you want to learn the whole schedule and make plans yourself here for any of these events. Our next guest is named Poppin' Fresh, a performer with the Urban Boys. The Urban Boys U.S. Return. Poppin' Fresh is on with us now. Hey, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks a lot. Good afternoon, everybody that's listening. It's Poppin' Fresh right here.
Poppin' Fresh is with us September 20th, 6:30 p.m. at the Little Theater, Theater 1. It is free and non-ticketed. Hey, so I don't know if I tell you Poppin' or Fresh, but Poppin', do you want to tell the audience about what the Urban Boys do?
Oh, yes. Basically, the Urban Boys U.S. is a family. We have lots of talent in the group, dance being one of our main things. So on September 20th, we'll be dancing and showcasing some of our arts. So it's really going to be a great time, and hope to see everyone right there.
Well, you are all gentlemen who graduated from the Rochester City School District. Then you separated to kind of go to your different ways, some going to college or careers. 4 years later, you guys are back together. What's it going to mean to be back here in Rochester performing?
Oh, it really means like really a lot to us because, you know, we really separated at a time when we're kind of growing, and that's when we just launched our crew. We are making rounds around Rochester, but like the timing was kind of hard, you know, college came in, so we split our different ways. But now that it's been 4 years since we last did something together. So we've had so much growth, so much character, and so much personality, and that's what we're going to be bringing to the stage. So it's really a pleasure, and it's like, you know, a family reunion. You know what I mean?
Well, once again, I want to let people know, September 20th, 6:30 p.m., a free non-ticketed show at Little Theater Number 1 for the Urban Boys U.S. return. And this is a Rochester crew getting back together. Before I let you go, Poppin' Fresh, I got to ask you, I hear there is some breaking that happens with your show. You know, back in, you know, when I was growing up, I would call it break dancing. But for those who just watched the Olympics and are particular fans, perhaps, of Ray Gun, they would call it breaking. What did you make of seeing not only breaking in the Olympics, but also this bizarre controversy over Ray Gun's performance, Poppin' Fresh?
As a fellow dancer, you know, I won't really, you know, bash her or say something negative about her. You know, she did her thing, though, you know, in the eyes of the viewers, it wasn't, you know, something that everybody was expecting. But, like, out of respect, I'll say it's really a good start for breaking. You know, it's been a sport that I think needs, you know, the recognition that all other sports gain, you know, because dancing is really entertaining, and I feel like the Olympics are just like the first people to hop on the trend that's going to grow from here. So it's a good start.
Well, I think that's extremely diplomatic of you, and I think that's very cool. Listeners should look up the history of breaking, and when you see some of the best performances, gold medal performances, it is unbelievable, the physicality and the style. But that's just an element here. We're going to see Poppin' Fresh as part of the Urban Boys U.S. return. And I want to thank you for getting on the phone with us. We will see you at the Little Theater September 20th. Thanks for being with us.
Appreciate you a lot. See you soon.
Thank you very much. Should I ask Erica Fee what you thought of Ray Gun?
Well, you know, as someone who actually is involved in this, not as a crew member, I've been limbering up recently, and I think I'm going to get back in the game. But no, we have the Fringe Street Beat event every year,
yeah,
which was like recognized last year by New York State Council on the Arts because it's the biggest one in upstate New York.
And it's amazing.
And that's on September 21st this year. It's at Martin Luther King Jr. Park, totally free from 1 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. And we have crews, who come from all over the Northeast, from Canada, and they're amazing. I mean, every year I feel A, totally uncool, B, very unflexible.
Well, they are amazing.
Yeah, for real.
Really amazing. So whether it's the Urban Boys U.S. return on the 20th or Street Beats the 21st.
Yes, that's right.
Great opportunity to see some great skill there. We're talking to Eric Fee, who is the producer, the CEO, the person, the one-woman show behind creating...
It's not a one-woman, many-person show.
Yeah, Erica would never let me say that. Yeah. Rochester Fringe Festival is coming your way September 10th through the 21st, rochesterfringe.com. And my next guest is William DeVideo, who's the co-owner of Aerial Arts of Rochester, producer and lead rigger of Aerial 51. Hey, William, thanks for being with us.
Hey, how are you? I'm glad to be here.
Great to have you here. So Aerial Arts of Rochester, the Aerial Arena tickets. This is a ticketed show happening on September 14th and 15th. William, tell us a little bit about what Aerial 51 is.
Sure. So Aerial 51 is a galactic variety show featuring like aerial artists, contemporary dance, whimsical juggling, and just a lot of daring, like physical theater. So it's going to be, we've transformed our studio over to be a galactic host for this event. And more or less, it's got lots of cool lighting and different types of show that we've not really done before. So we're experimenting with different styles of dance throughout the show.
And so all of these physical things are happening, but at the core of this show is a question. And I'm going to ask Erica Fee. Is anybody else out there in the universe, you think? You think it's just us?
Really?
Yeah. Just us?
I think there's others. There are others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely others.
Yeah, for sure.
There are so many planets.
I feel like there might be something.
Come on, William. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's kind of at the core of, it's called Ariel 51 here. And what I like is this idea that every performer gets to kind of show off their interpretation of what could exist in this 93 billion light years diameter universe. Although, what do you think is that, is if we go to 93 billion plus one, what's on the other side of that wall, William? What do you think is out there?
Oh, man, that's hard to say.
I know, I just melted your brain.
Just like another copy of the 93 billion just starts over.
I will definitely buy that. There's probably a fringe festival 93 billion light years away, because there's fringe festivals, as Eric Fee has told us, everywhere now.
I mean, I don't know if they've gone that far yet, but...
Why not?
Well, if the astronauts are in space any longer, they might want to think about creating one.
I like that idea.
Yeah,
that's very good. Before I let you go, William, how did that concept come into your mind for a performance like this?
Well, we actually had something else that we were going to be doing that didn't work specifically. So then we've always wanted to do like a galactic alien type of show. And we were like, oh, my God, how about now? And then we were like, all right, let's just get this done. And then we were really working with why aliens would be here. And so we put in that question of, you know, who or what else is out there and where would they go? Well, they would come to Ariel 51, of course. So,
well, let me use a Calvin and Hobbes Bill Watterson quote. Calvin and Hobbes walking in the woods and fishing a piece of garbage out of a stream. And Calvin says, sometimes I think that the surest sign that intelligent life exists elsewhere in the universe is that none of it has tried to contact us yet. There you go.
Yes.
He was 6 years old. That's deep for a six-year-old. William, where are you performing? Tell people where to go.
Sure. We're at Ariel Arts in Rochester on University. It's 1046 University Ave. We're right next to Hot Shots Volleyball. The show is on September 14th and 15th. On the 14th, it's at 4 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. And then on Sunday, the 15th, is 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. So tickets are limited, and you want to hurry up and get those.
Ariel 51. William, thanks for being with us. We'll see you there.
Awesome. Thank you. See you too.
Thank you very much, William. Isn't it amazing? I still remember Erica Fee, Calvin and Hobbes quotes like that.
That is amazing.
But that's one of my favorite quotes of all time, by the way.
Is it?
It is. Because I love the depth of this finding a piece of garbage in a beautiful bucolic stream and thinking, you know what? We're not even worth it. Like, there probably are aliens and they're looking at us going, yeah, let's pass.
Yeah.
Like, let's get off of the next universe throughway rest up.
Yeah.
Not this one. Our next guest is the storyteller with the Unluckiest Corner, performing four shows at Fringe, all 5:30 p.m. shows happening at Parcel 5. Matt Rogers is with us from the Unluckiest Corner. Hello, Matt.
Hi. Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, tell us about what the Unluckiest Corner is.
Sure. It's going to be a listening experience where I'll be set up at Parcel 5 right up by the I Heart Rock sculpture. And I'll be giving out a whole bunch of Bluetooth headphones. And once everyone is set up, sitting or laying down on a blanket, I will start the story. And the story is going to be a voiceover that I wrote, had music and sound effects added to. And it tells a story of the Unluckiest Corner, which is a spot in Rochester where so many things have happened that it's beyond coincidence, and you might start to think that the area is cursed. And it's about a half hour long, and the twist, to paraphrase the Hamilton musical, you are in the spot where it happened. All the things that I'm going to be talking about happened within the area of Parcel 5 or Liberty Pole Plaza.
Bring a chair or a blanket for this one?
Yes. Yeah. I put the show on last year just as kind of a sneak preview, had a ton of awesome feedback and response. But the biggest one is you're a lot more comfortable just kind of sitting and watching the area around you as you listen to the story.
What do you hope people take from an experience like this, Matt? What are you trying to make them feel?
That the places you might take for granted, walk by every day, not realize where you walk or travel, have some incredible history and stories behind them. That's how I got my business started, and that's kind of been my mission, is to share that history, culture, and pride of Rochester and the area around us.
I love this idea. Matt Rogers, the storyteller with the Unluckiest Corner, four different Parcel 5 experiences, and they're about 30 minutes apiece, right?
Yes. Yep. Right before dinner time. It is a ticketed event. But once we check you in, I'll hand out the headphones, get started right around that 5:30 time.
And listeners, I know you know Parcel 5, but if you haven't been there in a while, it's one of the really cool walkable spaces now, because not just Parcel 5, you can go so many places for dinner, cup of coffee, really good stuff happening in that part of our revived city. And Matt Rogers in the Unluckiest Corner will be there for Fringe. Matt, thanks for joining us. We'll see you there.
Thank you very much for having me. Take care.
That's Matt Rogers, RochesterFringe.com. This kind of style story, I think it was 7 years ago, I did something like this part of Fringe, you know, headphones on, experiential stuff. It seems like it's part of the Fringe culture, Erica Fee.
I think that show was Remote Rochester.
Remote Rochester,
that,
I'm
created
of, yeah.
by the Berlin Collective Rimini Protocol. Yes, I think that these sorts of different experiences that you're not going to have the rest of the year round really resonate with our audiences.
Well, we are having a good time walking through the list of Fringe shows. There are, Eric Fee said there's 650, but who's counting this year?
Yes.
And so we can't tell you about every single one of them. We're just trying to give you a wide range of flavors. And my next guest on the line is Jason Barber, site manager for the International Plaza, which is the venue for kickoff for Hispanic Heritage Month and Fringe Festival. And this is happening on September 15th. Hello, Jason Barber.
Hey, how are you?
Free event there coming up here. Tell us what's happening on September 15th.
So at the International Plaza, we're going to be having a bunch of different salsa days. We're kind of merging our, what we've had in the past, the International Salsa Day, there at the Plaza with the kickoff to Hispanic Heritage. So we're celebrating not just the Caribbean, but also Mexico, because that's actually Mexican Independence Day. We're also having a food blog going to be there. I'm going to taste all the different food vendors that we have there, like Di Matera, that does Mexican and Colombian food, to all our traditional Puerto Rican and Caribbean style food that we also serve at the Plaza. So we're just trying to embrace Hispanic heritage. Rasha Latino Theater Company will be there doing some storytelling. So this is going to be a really fun free event on Sunday, September 15th.
And the beautiful thing about this is Hispanic Heritage Month and Fringe Festival don't have to fight over this. They get to enjoy this together. It's all under this beautiful umbrella. And if people haven't been to the International Plaza, Jason Barber, I mean, they should probably get there. You want to tell them about the site?
Oh, my gosh. It's an amazing site over in North Clinton. It's kind of like what the city's been trying to do for several years. It has different shipping containers that have food vendors there and small business incubator space. But it's also an event space. We try to bring together the different populations within our city. We've had gospel nights, we've had R&B nights, we've had salsa, cumbia, we've had Cinco de Mayo, and also a Dominican Day celebrations. So it's just a unique space that kind of is a gem within the North Clinton neighborhood, which has always been the epicenter for the Latino population in Rochester, but it's also, just a great space that I've had cops and I've had people all from all over the city come to the Plaza, and they say, this is like an oasis. This is like a relaxed, like an awesome space full of light within our city.
Four-hour event, September 15th, starting at 1 p.m., a free event at the International Plaza. Jason, have fun with that. Thanks for telling our listeners about it. We'll see you out there.
Thank you for having me. So, yep.
Jason Barber, kickoff for Hispanic Heritage Month and Fringe Festival coming your way. September 15th. We have had a tour de force this hour, and we're going to get to our last guest here in just a second here. Erica Fee, I have to ask you a question here.
Sure.
I'm looking at the Enigmatist. We're going to talk with David Kwong in a second. And the page in the Fringe Guide here made me think of the book covers for Dan Brown's books. And I just read this really brutal article, like, that takes down Dan Brown as like the worst American author. And I'm like, I think I remember liking The Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
Am I a bad person?
No, I'm with you 100%. But if you look on, certain parts of Twitter, which I won't call X, I would say that there's a lot of other people who agree with that. That's
really rough.
He's slammed all the time.
He's only sold like 400 billion books, so people are probably just envious.
Yes. The Rest is History podcast regularly takes down Dan Brown.
Maybe the prose isn't the best, but I will cop to having enjoyed some of that. And I think people like cracking codes. I think people like this idea of trying to be in on solving a mystery. And Rochester's own David Kwong is this a Fringe debut here?
This is a big deal.
This is a big deal?
Yes, it is a big deal because David just played the Kennedy Center and Chicago Shakes, but he is originally from Rochester. So this is his Rochester Fringe debut, and we are thrilled.
David Kwong, it's about time to get David Kwong on this program. Do we have David? We've got David there. Hello, David.
I'm here. Hello.
Hey, welcome.
Good afternoon.
How come this is your first time, and what is wrong with Rochester?
Nothing's wrong with Rochester. My parents still live there. It's a wonderful place to grow up, and I've just, I had to chase the bright lights of Hollywood, I think is what happened.
David.
So I'm in L.A.
So yeah. when we first looked at the list, this was one of those ones that popped Eric Fee. It was like, wow, this is awesome. This is going to be a great opportunity for people to come see on Friday, September 13th, Saturday, September 14th, Sunday, September 15th. Before we kind of get into it with David here, I mean, when you bump into people and you tell them what's new at Fringe, how do you explain this one, Erica Fee?
Well, it's difficult to explain, but it's one of those shows I think that you're going to have to be there for. You know, if it's I think that Fringe audiences now trust our judgment to an extent, and they feel that sometimes when we recommend things, you've got to get that ticket, and this is one of them.
Chicago Tribune and the New York Times.
I can't even explain my job to my own mother, by the way.
I love that.
It's not easy.
This is happening at the Spiegel Tent, Eric.
It is.
And the New York Times and Chicago Tribune have loved this show. David, how do you describe it to people, what you do with the Enigmatist?
Well, I'm a magician, first and foremost, but because I love puzzles and secret codes and word games, I cross-pollinated all of this to make like a brainy, nerdy, cerebral magic show. So I call the Enigmatist an evening of illusions, puzzles, and cryptography. Code cracking.
How interactive is it?
It is incredibly interactive. The idea is that there is a box on stage with a combination lock on it, and I'm going to put puzzles periodically throughout the show up on a screen. These are fun puzzles that you have to think outside the box to solve, and I give them to the audience, and I say, stand up if you know the answer. And if you solve all those puzzles, you can unlock the box and all the mysteries that are inside it.
Why do you think? See, we were just talking about the Dan Brown books, which again, I'm not going to stand any Dan Brown slander here. It's okay to like geeky puzzles. It's all right to nerd out on that. Why do you think people love to participate in this way, David?
I'm just going to echo to get in on the debate here. I think Dan Brown is wonderful. No, because he made puzzles and secret codes accessible.
Yeah.
Right. And he puts it in language that everybody can understand. And I sort of, in my own way, I take these complicated things and I break them down and I make them digestible for people. So I think Dan Brown has done an incredible thing. And in my own way, I do that with magic and puzzles in the Enigmatist.
You have traveled around here, and where have you been recently? Before coming to Rochester, where are you performing?
So I've done this show theatrically. It debuted in New York. It ran for all of 2019 as an off-Broadway show at the Highline Hotel. And then I took it to the Geffen Playhouse in LA, the Kennedy Center in DC, and then just recently, Chicago Shakespeare Theater in the Windy City.
Eric Fee, that's a big resume.
It is, isn't it?
that's a very cool.
But David's
resume.
he's on a billboard now, and I think his mother's also.
I'm on a billboard.
Yeah, and your mother's buying an additional billboard, right? Yeah, so I think we're off too.
Oh my god!
I love this.
Jokes.
No, I love this. And David, here's a part of your resume that I'm less familiar with. New York Times crossword constructor. Are you involved with crosswords there?
Yes, I am. I've been constructing crosswords for about 20 years. I'm one of many people that send them in to the New York Times, but I think I've, over the years, made a nice little reputation for having very devious, crafty, tricky puzzles, which of course matches my description as a magician. So I still do it. I mail them in all the time.
What level difficulty?
I say mail, like that. When I started doing them, I was literally mailing them to Will
Schwartz's
house.
Like snail mail, yeah.
Yeah, now I submit them through the portal, but I guess I still say mail. What level of difficulty? I've done every day. I've done Monday, which is the easiest. I've done Saturday, which is the hardest. And I've done Sunday, which is the biggest and most fun. So as we say in the crossword business, I've hit for the cycle and published on every single day.
That is so much fun. We could probably do a whole hour on why people love crosswords. And if it's part of your daily routine, this is a guy you want to meet. David Kwong is coming. It's called The Enigmatist, Magic and Puzzles. Yeah, I mean, like, I love the Tribune's review. Well, they talk about word nerds, puzzle fans. This is your kind of show. Is that an okay review for you, David?
Yeah, it's really, the Tribune's review was glowing. I'll just say that if you want to learn more about the crossword puzzle, there's a whole portion of The Enigmatist in which I build a crossword puzzle in real time on stage, and I teach everybody about how it comes together and all the rules, and we have a fancy word for this, and it's a cruciverbalist is a crossword puzzle constructor, and it's a big part of the show. So if you like that kind of thing, if you're a word nerd, please come on out. It's a family show, all ages. Bring your smart, nerdy kids and stretch their brains. It's a lot of fun.
David, what is the most common crossword answer that's like a bailout for constructors who need, you know, something to kind of get you from one place to another?
It's the vowel heavy words.
What's an example?
Oreo. It's Oreo. It's Yoko Ono. Esai Morales from NYPD Blue, ESAI, is in there a lot. The most common, it's not that interesting, the most common word is era, E-R-A, and area. It's just we need those vowels. It's the glue that keeps the puzzle together.
See, I could do this. I could do this all day, Eric Fee.
Well, you can be trained. Come to The Enigmatist.
It's at the Spiegel Tent. Where is the Spiegel Tent, Eric Fee?
It's at the corner of Main Street and Gibb Street, right across from Eastman Theater.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Okay, and I'm going to give you a little bit of a homer softball here, David, before I let you go. But, you know, Rochester takes pride in its own here, and you are Rochester's own. So, you know, it's kind of the gauzy question of what it means to come home. But I hope it means something to do the Fringe here.
It means everything. I tell people all the time that there's nothing more important than performing for the people that know where you came from. And there will be a lot of family and friends there for me, people that saw me doing card tricks in the high school cafeteria before this became a real job. It's going to be a wonderful homecoming, and I'm excited to share it with everybody. So come on out and stretch your brains. Please say hello after the show. I come out and say hi to everybody. Come puzzle with me.
Thank you for making time for us. We'll see you back home here again September 13th, 14th, 15th. At the Spiegel Tent. That's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the first weekend of Fringe. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
David,
see you soon.
David Kwong, The Enigmatist. Really, I mean, I saw that one, Erica, and I was like, okay, you got Colin Jost. You got David Kwong. You got some big stuff.
We got some big stuff.
And that's a great way to end this hour because this hour has been all about the full range of experiences from the size of the venues to the place where it's happening to literally people who are local talent that you've probably not heard of before but should to truly an international star like David Kwong. And that's a tribute to what a Fringe Festival is supposed to be. You feel like it's got the balance that you're looking for?
I think it does. You know, we are always surprised and delighted by it every year, which is the other great thing about a Fringe. We are a bifurcated festival, so we curate some events ourselves. For example, The Enigmatist, Colin Jost, Architects of Air. But the rest of the shows are curated by the venues, and that leads to incredible artistic access, diversity of programming. We don't have just a few people who are programming the entire festival. We have a bunch of brains at this. And so we are always just thrilled by what the venues choose as well. So it's a real team effort. We are a nonprofit organization. We do this in order to provide platforms for artists, many of whom need them and who do not have spaces to perform the rest of the year round, but also to bring new art to Rochesterians. And so far, that balance has worked out.
I do have one complaint about David Kwong, and
oh boy,
you know, I hope he's still on the line to hear this. It is not cool to have a monopoly on all of the great things. Like, he's an incredibly smart guy, a magician, very skilled performer, great improver. He's also like absurdly good looking.
Yeah, yeah. It's a real problem.
Like, you don't get it all. It's not really fair. Like, he and I are around the same age, and what little hair I have left is 65% gray, I think a friend told me. And I was like, 65%?
It sounds like
you really think so? Like, there's nothing wrong with that, but really?
It's like they're tracking you.
Would you say 65% gray?
I'll assess. I'll do a full assessment later.
I think it's less. But anyway, David Kwong is like this ridiculously good-looking person who's less than a year younger than me. He's 44. He's about to turn 45. Like, no, you think he just turned 44. Regardless, there's like no gray hair. He's ridiculously good looking and he's funny and he's great at what he does. You're not supposed to have it all. It's supposed to be like one thing that you don't get.
But you know, he doesn't have a radio show, Evan.
That is true. Sorry, David. Got that on you.
I mean, we've never seen him make, say, an outdoor fire. You know, he.
Yes.
We know that you're quite skilled at
that. What kind of fire building is he?
He's probably
a very weak outdoorsman.
He probably makes very big fires.
Very sort of modest. So I want to thank David Kwong and all of the performers who have joined us this hour. It's a really fun lineup. Rochester takes a lot of pride in this festival. And as I always do, I'm going to close it with a question for you. If you can only go to one show, this is the worst question for Erica. If you're going to one show, what's it going to be? You're like, don't do this.
Yeah, I'm not going to answer that question.
Enigmatist. It's got to be.
No, I'm not going to answer that
Colin
question.
Colin Jost.
Do you think you want me to be beaten up in the parking lot on the way out?
Dashboard.
I'm not answering the question. I would go to RochesterFringe.com and I would filter by the various genres that I enjoyed and then I'd choose something.
I didn't know that you could actually do this. You can filter by genre.
Yeah, or by venue. You could get a whole venue sign up by date.
Filter by date, that's great.
And by age range. So let's say you've got kids and you just want family-friendly performances or all-ages performances, you could do that. Or you want something more mature, you can do that too.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for telling the story of Fringe. Erica is often at the Spiegel Tent, but not always. In fact, she's all over the city when Fringe Festival happens. The date's the 10th of September, which is a Tuesday,
that's right,
through the 21st. Coming up here, RochesterFringe.com. That's Eric Fee. And this is David Griffin, who is accepting collect calls from overseas this hour. And producer Megan Mack, who is going to be performing at the Fringe Festival as part of a group called Thank You Kiss. That's a real thing. Listeners, if you love Connections and you think you know Megan Mack, go see Thank You Kiss, Strange Love Letters, September 14th or 20th or the 21st at the Focus Theater. I will be there. And you will thank me. That's all I'm going to say. All right, that's it. We're going to talk to you tomorrow on Member Supported Public Radio.